Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday.
Hump day!
Hump day! We weren't able to do that at the beginning. It's been a fun first 2 hours. The hour two is a little easier than hour one. Technical difficulties today here at the radio station. I am actually in the Kia Studios.
Right.
For the first time since like March, I don't know what was it, 25th or something like that? 15th?
Yeah,
I don't remember. That's why I was laughing when we just came back from break, because I went to turn the microphone on and then I touched the mic stand. Uh-huh. And at home, my microphone doesn't move. This one does a little shake.
So did you break it?
No, I didn't break it.
Oh.
I did something that everyone has done on accident and everyone hates to do in the studio. I accidentally let the microphone touch my lips. Which is super gross. Yeah, super gross that
just
happened.
But see, you don't have no mic condom anyway.
Yeah, I raw dog it.
Yeah, you raw dog the mic, which has always been nasty as hell to me anyways. And we've talked about this on numerous occasions, so we're not going to go back into that again. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm easily irritated with certain things, Andy. And this brick thing is getting on my nerves, because they're like, okay, you got to bring it in now. I'm like, dude. Just send them out here, all right? I'm gonna pay for Chris's Uber if he lets me. I'm gonna pay for Chris's Uber. Chris, you get your ass up here and fix this thing at my house, all right? Because I'm trying to do my best, and y'all saw that this morning. I'm trying to do my best not to come to that damn Kia studio, okay?
Like your absolute best.
I am trying to do my best not to be there, all right? And I know we were gonna have a problem, this morning, because man, you talk,
yeah.
And me sitting here this whole time like. Okay. Well, Andy's on. All right, I'm cool. Then I can do it from home as long as one of us is there. But then it came down to that conversation that I have with Brian. And I know Brian knows me better than anybody, because Brian's worked with me longer. And he knows when I'm not going to do something, I'm not going to do it unless it's like mandatory. And so I'm sitting there talking to Brian, and he hits me with the, so you want to come in? No. and me just being me, no.
No.
But the thing about it is, if I knew all this was going to happen, then I would have came in.
Yeah.
But then I get a call at 9:55. Okay, you got to come in. What do you mean I got to come in?
45 minutes away at that point.
It's 9:55.
It's terrible.
I was like, you know what, dude? So I'm glad we're working. Everything is working. I was talking to Christian. He said, no problem. So I told him, okay.
Oh.
You got to get this fixed, man. Because I'm like, I don't leave Lilburn unless I'm going to the airport. Okay, everybody knows that, all right? And if I got to leave, I will. And if I have to be at work, if I have to go to...
Reporting live from Lilburn, here's Randy McMichael.
I was about to tell a bald-faced lie and said, if y'all need me to come in tomorrow... No, if I have to come in tomorrow, I'll be in tomorrow.
Next time you have to pick somebody up from the airport... Why don't we schedule it that day? Because, I mean, the station's kind of on the way to the airport. Like, it's between your house and the airport.
I ain't picking nobody up from no airport. I'm going when I go to the airport.
Oh, you're just going. That's right. You're going on a trip.
Yeah.
All right.
See, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, if you know me. If it's mandatory, I'm going to always do what's mandatory. If it ain't mandatory, then we'll see.
You're going to be at home.
Yeah.
In your sandals. Probably not wearing underwear.
Dude, I was coming up there with these damn Ugg house shoes on, some shorts and a tank top. That's how I was. That's how I was dressed.
Well, I'm glad we got it figured out. I'm glad we got it all taken care of. Not surprised we got it all taken care of, because Brian did tell me that you're a Zoom expert now.
Yeah,
got
man.
You on the Zoom.
You should see me yesterday looking dead at Chris, like, oh, Zoom. I look good. Yeah.
There's a new college football podcast up on our Facebook page, by the way. You want to check that out. That's what the Zoom call was all about. 92.9 The Game Facebook page, college football podcast. We'll get to the lunchtime Falcons report coming up in 20 minutes from right now. So all the most important audio in the world that we're about to get to, none of it's going to be Falcons related because we're going to save it all for 12:20. But I wasn't here the last 2 days, so I haven't had a really chance to talk about what happened against the Bears. I don't know that there's anything new to really say about this football team that we didn't say last week, but we'll let you hear from Dan Quinn a little bit and, I don't know, get you caught up on the injury situation. they're a disaster, man. I don't know what to say. We'll also get to some damn good questions with Thirsty Brian coming up at 12:40 as well. We start off the noon hour with the big clip of the day brought to you by Johnson and All Day Injury Attorneys.
Visit
JohnsonAllDay.com.
Again, when it's not your arm, I don't worry as much. It was obviously the ankle. And he's pretty much good to go as well.
There you go. Alex Anthopoulos easing any concern that you may have about Max Fried, who's about to start game one for the Braves in like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Let me get this going.
Yeah, ESPN2, by the way.
Is it 2?
Yeah, I don't know why it's 2.
No, it's 1.
Oh, it's 1?
It's on 1.
Oh, I had it. All right, whatever. It's on one of those ESPN channels. Yeah. Max Fried, no worries, says Alex Anthopoulos yesterday on the radio station. If you want to check out that interview, it's up on 92.9thegame.com. He was on with Dukes and Bell, which is good. And no, that's what they're going to say. He's starting game one of the playoffs for you. They're not going to say, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, we got it fixed up with some straw and some gum and some duct tape. Hopefully, it doesn't come apart mid-game. The thing that was interesting to me was Brian Snitker talking about hoping that Max Fried goes 5 innings and that's kind of the goal. That's it. I mean,
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
I don't like that. Yeah, I'm not with that, Buck. And you know, I'm not going to put him in the same, you know, breath as Gerrit Cole and all that. I'm not going to do that because I don't think he's there yet. But I mean, what's wrong with when we were talking about Peter earlier? What's wrong with him going 7? You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with thinking he should go 7? I was like, when I heard that, and I was like, what you mean 5? Why is this is the playoffs? He's the first guy. We need at least 7 from him, I would think, right? 6-7, right?
Yeah. I mean, as many as he can give you.
Like,
he's not the same as Ian Anderson. He's not the same as the other young guys that you have starting in this series. He's the only starting pitcher, like reliable. Can't even call him a veteran. He's been a starter for like 2 years.
Right.
But he's what you got. He's your best guy. And he's going against Trevor Bauer. Like, Trevor Bauer, damn sure, if he's pitching well, is going 7 innings today.
Oh, no like, doubt about it.
And that's just the way that they're going to use him because that's what the Reds do with Trevor Bauer. That's what you do with your number one starter. So, I don't know. Hopefully they can get to Bauer early. Hopefully Fried looks good and they stick with him as long as possible.
My guy A-Rod's on. Hey, hi. Yeah.
Oh, good. So you're happy. A-Rod's on the pregame show?
He's talking nice about the Braves.
Oh, was he? How do you know?
Yeah. I mean, it just looked like he was
by
mannerisms.
You got closed captions on? Or how you doing that?
I don't do no damn closed captions, man.
I was just wondering. I don't know. Sometimes it's fun to read. Sometimes the closed captions will be funny if the announcer talks too fast and they can't keep up with it or they get the word wrong. It's like, that's definitely not what he said. But the closed caption said he did. All right, let's hear from Brian Snitker as well.
And I think because they've been battle tested now for 3 years and they've experienced it, they know what it is. Baseball, that's why we're going to play the games. But I think to a man in there, these guys all feel really good about what we got going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Braves should. I know that it's been a trendy pick in the national media to take the Reds. They're like the 12-5 upset that everybody's taken in the NCAA tournament going into these playoffs.
Right.
The Braves are better than them, 35-25 this year. They're the best offense in baseball. The lineup they're throwing out there today is unbelievable. And it's Max Fried on the mound. Like, I know that they've had problems with their starting rotation throughout the year. That's not today. Max Fried is on the mound today. The Braves have one of the best bullpens in baseball. Like, you got to win today.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a conversation about back against the wall tomorrow. Like, come out here and erase everything that's happened to you the last 15 years in the playoffs. We know the Braves' history in the playoffs. They haven't gotten out of the first round since 2001. Everybody knows that.
Right. Andy,
change the narrative.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing right there is trying to change the narrative. I mean, but that's where we are with these sports teams here in this city, man. And I'm not even going to speak into it. If stuff doesn't go the way we want it to, it's going to be, oh, hell, here we go again. We're going to have to come in here tomorrow if things don't go the way we want them to go and have to sit there and listen to fans say, well, I told you so. We shouldn't. I mean, because there's nothing wrong with thinking like that sometimes, Andy, when it keeps happening. You know, it keeps happening to you. And so, and I think it was you said this, I think probably last week, I think you said this, talking about, the must-win aspect. I think every game's a must-win. I said this yesterday. Andy, who's the pressure on right now? Is there any pressure on Cincinnati? I think all the pressure's on Atlanta because of the fact that we lost 10 straight damn series.
Yeah.
We haven't won since 2001. Yeah. I mean, when you think, especially consider all the talent on this squad.
I would say so. The talent, the fact that there's multiple MVP candidates. You got one of the young superstars in baseball. You got the longest lineup in baseball. You've won the division 3 years in a row. You've been in the playoffs all these times since 2001. Like, all of that adds up. And Peter Moylan said this to us back in the 10 o'clock hour about lose today and then you panic. The players aren't going to panic, are they? Like, that's not what he meant.
You don't panic, but you get tight.
Yeah.
Because this is so condensed, man. It's three games. It's best two out of three, man. And they have capable. I think their three starters are more capable than our three starters.
I agree with that. Yes.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So we don't know how it's going to. And then, like Peter was saying, like, okay, Max Fried wins today. How do you coach the young pitchers the next two games? Are you tight with them to a point where, oh my God, he gave up a couple of hits in the first? I mean, do you like, okay, you got to go. We got to go bullpen. Yeah, so I'm just like, you know, and yes, everybody that is tweeting me, yes, I know, I heard that dude, he's somewhere chilling at a bar, you know? yeah, he's somewhere chilling at a bar. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, you should be happy about that. Luke Jackson's not on the playoff roster. That's good.
Yeah, I know that, but I wasn't surprised. I mean, oh, yeah.
They made the right move.
They made the right move.
What if somebody would have told you a month ago that Pablo Sandoval would be on the roster for game one of the playoffs and Ender and Ciarte wouldn't? I don't think I would have believed that person.
I don't think I would have believed that either because of the loyalty in it.
Pablo Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval? Who the hell is that?
The Kung Fu Panda? All right.
All right.
I can't imagine he's going to have to play, but he's on the roster.
That's all that matters.
As is Charlie Culberson as well. So, damn it. All right. The game's underway. We will not do play-by-play or anything like that, but if anything big happens, we'll react to it.
Damn, Max!
I know! I know.
Okay, maybe I might need to turn it.
All right.
We're not panicking.
We'll switch gears. We're going to get to the Falcons coming up in 10 minutes. Here's Kirby Smart talking about some compliments from Gus Malzahn.
Kirby, today Gus said that y'all had probably the most talented overall team in the league. Do you think that's accurate, and how do you think that's assessed across the league when y'all look at other programs?
I think if you ask somebody the week of the game, the team they're playing will have the most talent in the league. And then next week, that team will have the most talent. And then the next week, that team will have the most talent, and that's called coach speak. So thanks, Gus. He has the most talent in the SEC himself.
They do not like each other.
Nicely done there by Kirby, though. Like, fully honest. Of course, that's what you're going to say when you're playing against a good team that week. Those guys don't like each other, though.
No,
like,
they don't.
There's a legitimate disdain between him and Gus Malzahn, which is awesome. That makes this even more fun. I mean, obviously, it's Auburn, Georgia. I mean, we're talking about a fun football game this Saturday night in Athens. I've got concerns. I've got concerns after the Arkansas game. And we haven't talked about it yet, but
that was damn, Max!
Stop. Don't say that.
Okay.
Don't worry about Max.
I'm done.
Okay,
back to them.
Yeah.
No, they genuinely don't like each other, and this is a fun game. It's Auburn, Georgia is always fun. It's a shame they had to wind their way into us playing it earlier this year. But, they are a very good football team. And Bo Nix played really well last weekend against Kentucky, and he has weapons on the outside. I have concerns, too, about Georgia, and it's mainly just the quarterback. Mm-hmm. That is my concern, the quarterback position. And whenever you're the week of the game and your quarterback decision is – and me saying, hey, I got a problem with the quarterback, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. It isn't. And you cannot play the way in that first half that you played last week at Arkansas against this Auburn team. You're going to lose. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
Because Georgia can slow down the offense, but Georgia can't slow down them the way they were able to do Felipe Franks.
Yeah, it's just you're not going to be able to do what Georgia did for how long? 35 minutes in that game before they got it into gear against a good football team. And you're right. Bo Nix looked as confident as a quarterback can look on Saturday against Kentucky. Now, it's Kentucky. I mean, it's not the secondary that Georgia has. It's not the pass rush that Georgia has. But Bo Nix thinks he's Brett Favre. Like, he's back there throwing balls off his back foot, throwing jump passes, pump faking defensive linemen, doing spin move. Like,
he's having a good time.
He is feeling himself on Saturday. I hope he tries some of those throws against Georgia, because I think Georgia's secondary might be a little different than Kentucky's. But, yeah, that's a legitimate problem. Now, I think Stetson Bennett has to go. I know we talked to Roddy Nabalzi about that back in the 11 o'clock hour. I just, you know, you come into a game 20 for 29 with two touchdowns. That's a Jake Fromm great game.
Yeah.
Last year, Stetson Bennett the fourth did that in
Stetson
one half.
Stetson Bennett the fourth.
I can't not call him that.
Stetson. Me and Brian said like this. Stetson damn Bennett.
Stetson damn Bennett the fourth. Are you ready for the Stetson Bennett the fourth era? Because I am.
Yeah. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it because here's why. I just like him. I do. He ain't the biggest dude in the world. You know, he ain't no big time 6'4". What do we see when they put him in the game last year? Stetson gonna throw it. Stetson ain't afraid to throw that damn ball.
You see him? He's dancing on the sideline in the first half after a three and out for some reason. He's throwing touchdowns. Yeah, he was balling. Stetson Bennett the fourth. Right. I'm ready for Stetson Bennett the fourth.
Stetson damn Bennett.
That means there's three other ones. Stetson Bennett is such an awesome name. Also, he has to. You can't have a son and not name him Stetson Bennett the fifth. Right?
Oh, no, because if we go by the order, so his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
I think so.
Senior, junior, third. Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah.
So he's the fourth, then there'll be a fifth. Okay. We'll come back and get to the Lunchtime Falcons report. We do have some Dan Quinn from yesterday. He was on with Dukes and Bell, as he is every single Tuesday. And we'll try to figure out how the hell they go about beating the Green Bay Packers on Monday night. At least they have an extra game or an extra day to get ready for the game. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Hanging out on a hump day Wednesday. 20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Thirsty Brian. And I'm in studio at the Kia Studios for the we're having a little technical difficulties happening across the board here. This is the first time I've been here in months. And I forgot, and Brian's probably not going to like this very much, but whatever. I forgot how funny it is sometimes. And I know Brian's going through it right now, and I feel bad for him because nothing's working on the other side of the glass.
Right.
But damn, when stuff doesn't work and Brian gets mad at it,
oh, the frustration.
It is really funny.
Yes. I was like, yeah, the frustration that Brian shows with that daggone computer, whatever system it is in there. You know, and Brian's a relatively nice person. And we love Brian. It's just fun to mess with Brian.
Absolutely.
Brian is a great person.
Well, it's just like, because I spent a little bit of time, of the four of us, between you, me, Brian, and Wendy. I haven't seen Wendy since March. I've seen you one time since
we
then.
We see Wendy every day. Just go on the ground. There's okay. Wendy.
But you know what I mean.
Yes, I saw Brian
a little bit throughout the summer because we would golf. But Brian does the same thing when he golfs. Golfing with Brian is just listening to Brian casually cuss himself out for 4 hours. Like, that's basically what it is. Just like, it's the opposite of a pep talk. Whatever you would do maybe to like pump yourself up and feel good. He does the opposite to himself when he's playing golf. It's very funny. He does the same thing when Adobe doesn't work also. Anyway, we'll get to some damn good questions 20 minutes from right now. Get back into what's trending coming up at 1 o'clock. Jason Longshore going to join us at 1:30. All of our normal Wednesday stuff. Talk a little Atlanta United. But, it is 12:20, so it's time for this.
Well, we have a good sense for Grady, just knowing his past. He's a hard one to keep out. I'll just leave it at that. He just finds a way. He's relentless. He's tough as they get. And so we're hopeful that Grady will be good to go. Like I said, the extra day this week. We're certainly looking forward to getting our full complement of guys and Grady and McKinley and Fowler all out there ripping together. And so we're hopeful that that'll be the case this week.
It's
time for the Lunchtime Falcon Report with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, and that's a part of it this week for the Falcons. I mean, the frustrating truth is, with as bad as everything's been, you got to go back out there and try to forget about it. And I know we as fans aren't going to, and we're going to talk about some of the things that have popped up consistently and some of the issues and the frustrations and all that. Well, these guys got to try to erase whatever the hell happened the last 2 weeks from their memory, if that's possible. Go out there on Monday Night Football and play against an Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers offense that's averaging 41 points a game. The number one offense in the NFL. Falcons defense giving up 36 points a game, which is the worst defense in the NFL. So doesn't seem like a great place to go get your first win of the year. But it would be a hell of a lot easier if Grady Jarrett is able to play and Tack McKinley is back and Dante Fowler can go. We know Darquez Dennard is going to be on the injured reserve for the next 3 weeks. So he's out for the time being. We also heard, Randy, you mentioned it earlier, and I agree it was a good question. Mike Bell asking about Isaiah Oliver yesterday with Dan Quinn. Basically, as simply as you could put it, like, is he going to get better? Or is this kind of, you know? But it is what we got what we got at this point. There's not going to be any blockbuster moves. There's not any, like, secret weapon coming from the shadows. Like, the Falcons have who they have personnel-wise on defense, and it was supposed to be fixed in the second half of the year last year. They're the worst defense in the NFL through 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I've said this, Andy, since the season, if we're going to give all that praise to what Raheem and David did defense last year, you're going to give them all the blame right now. The defense is playing like crap. Mm-hmm. And Andy, I was using the phrase while you were gone, is that they don't make winning plays when they need to make winning plays. And, you know, defensively, they are just, if it's a technique thing, I mean, it's always something when you look at it, when it's time to make a play to halt a drive or something. It's always something. It's always, well, I wasn't matching my hands with my feet. Oh, we got bumped off. Oh, we didn't get the call right. It's always something when it's time to make a winning play for this defense. And that's, you know, it's getting to a point where it's unacceptable. No, it's always been unacceptable. But it just looks like you're going back to those same old, you know, same old Falcons.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of it is, you know, just getting beat. He's getting beat. I saw Shock had some clips yesterday. I got Harry Douglas had a great one the other day. And it's just simple man-to-man coverage. And you just get beat. And you're getting beat in places, Andy, where you can't get beat. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get beat inside when there's no inside help.
Yeah.
But yet you continuously give up that part of the game. And so, yeah. But, I mean, a lot of that, you know, the front end, they're not getting home like we thought they would be right now. And, you know, tax down and Dante's not getting there. The pressure that we thought he could get, Grady's a little banged up. So, I mean, I'll kind of agree with what Dan said yesterday in his presser. It is a whole D. It is the defense in a whole. But you just can't, you know, just make it so – they make it so easy, it seems like, sometimes.
Yeah, it's situational awareness, and that's something that – goes for the coaches as well. And we'll get to that in a minute. And how I don't understand how the same mistake can be made over and over and over again. Like, it literally kept this franchise from getting its first Super Bowl. And we're still talking about 11 second drives in fourth quarters with the lead. Like, I just don't know. Like, you shouldn't be allowed to make those critical mistakes again when they kept you from the ultimate goal so recently. The situational awareness with the team, though, that confuses me is because whenever something like that happens, when you're not supposed to let your guy beat you to the middle because you know the linebacker may be taken away by what the offense is designing and you let it happen, you always go back to, well, you know, they get paid too and they've got that's a good play design and all that stuff. Yeah, that's true. But the Falcons defensively, when you're in a formation and you know exactly what you can't do in that defensive formation and continuously allowing the offense, it just seems like the offense is able to, okay, this is what they don't want us to do, so we're going to do it. We just got to put a guy in motion or send the running back this way. They'll take the linebacker and that'll clear the middle of the field open. Like, why is it that the offense can dictate whenever they want to get the Falcons into the position that they want them to get into defensively? You can't let that happen.
Yeah. Great. First of all, great play call and great,
it was,
you know, like you said, situational awareness. And, you know, and then the thing about it is, it's like when you look at some of the calls, there's not bad calls by Raheem and them. It's not. The players just aren't executing them. And then you get to the point where, okay, Because the one thing that we saw last year or heard last year by the defense is they simplified things. And that's all well and dandy. But you can't play simple, you know, you can't be just simple on the back end because you're not Richard Sherman. Mm-hmm. You're not Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. You're not Cam Chancellor. You're not Browner. You're not those guys. That's why they were able to do that, because they got them hosses. You know what I mean? They had them hosses in the back end. So you can disguise everything. You don't have a Hall of Fame free safety in Earl Thomas. You don't have that on this squad. So that's why they were able. You got to be able to disguise something. Did we hear this crap 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
We got to do a better job of disguising.
Mm-hmm.
Do a better disguising, but do a better job of playing.
Right.
How about that?
You can disguise whatever play you want. If you get isolated one-on-one with the receiver and it's your job to beat him in man coverage, whatever that means, being physical, jam him at the line, get to the high point of the ball, whatever. Whatever you need to do to beat the receiver on that play, you have to do it because they've gotten you isolated. And you're right, Randy. Sometimes this defense allows that to happen. Sometimes this defense almost invites that because they believe in the individual talent of the player on the back end.
Right.
But when the player on the back end isn't Richard Sherman and it's Isaiah Oliver, well, Michael Gallup catches a pass that gets him in the red zone in a really important part of the game. Or DK Metcalf smokes him and catches a touchdown on fourth down. Or any number of things that happened last weekend in the second half against the Chicago Bears. If the offense is happy about the thing that the defense wants, then the defense shouldn't be doing that. Like when Nick Foles and the Bears offense saw Isaiah Oliver isolated, they're licking their chops.
Yes. And that's why I said you don't think that, you know, Matt LaFleur today is – no, well, they probably have an extra – he probably whenever you have a Monday night, you usually have like a half-day Wednesday, so it's not that – but you're still putting in some of the game plan. Uh-huh. You don't think they've got 26 to 17? Like, okay, Devontae, we want you on this side right here. I mean, because he's been struggling. Yeah, he's been struggling in man-to-man coverage. I mean, and so – but the thing about it is, Bunk, who the hell else is there? Everybody's
right.
Hurt.
That's right.
Everybody's hurt. We don't know what AJ Terrell's status is going to be. You know, we don't – Denard, I think that might be the best game I've ever seen him play last week.
He played very well.
Yeah.
Played very
well. Might be the best game he's probably ever played in his career.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. And now you're at a point where who do you put back there? And then, like, that's when it goes back to when you got to simplify because you don't have your regular people up there. You don't think Aaron – you can't be simple with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, if Nick Foles can call an audible
to
get you into a position you don't want to be in to give himself an advantage, you don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to do the same? I mean, we talked about this last week, and again, I know this is my first day this week being able to react to what happened on Sunday. We said don't let Mitchell Trubisky beat you.
Yep.
They didn't. So, nope. I mean, you know.
They got Foles.
Yeah, they got Foles. Foles came in the game, and I don't know, did they announce the NFC Offensive Player of the Week yet?
No, they didn't.
You think they get that?
I think they did. I think they did.
Oh, they did? Okay, good. That would have been frustrating.
That would have been frustrating as hell if he had got it.
God, that would have been 3-for-3. Hey, so they also asked Dan Quinn yesterday, Dukes and Bell did, if you want to check out the interview, it's on the website, 929thegame.com, how they can improve finishing games.
I think you got to go do it, and that's the part about, being in this competitive arena that you are. It's like you so badly want to get back to that moment to do it. And so we've got to play well all the way leading up to that spot to put us into those spaces. But when we get the lead, you got to, you know, like I said, close the door to go.
You know what, Andy? I was in the car when Willie P. and Mike got a chance to talk to Coach. I was in the car because I was, picking up the baby from school. No blank. That's exactly what I said. You got to go do it. No blank. I mean – and I had to wind it down, and I'm sure one of the monitors who get the kids out to school and put them in the car,
yeah.
I bet she was looking at me like, what?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be cursing like that in this line. And I did. And they had to wind it down. I cursed loud as hell. I did.
I had to apologize to Lily because I dropped the F-bomb. I was like, no, you got to be like, Sorry, Lily. My bad. Don't say that word.
Yeah, see, you're different to me. It's like, I don't apologize to my kids for cussing around because they know they daddy.
Yeah.
Daddy cuss a lot.
And I think I'm probably going to do that too. I don't know. I'm still in this weird process of how's that going to go? Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? I'm probably just going to cuss and then be like, don't say that in public.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be kind of how I handle it.
Like, I'd be mad. I'd be mad if my kids was in school cussing.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised, man. Come on, man. I ain't going to be surprised.
I ain't going to be surprised.
I get a call from the principal. Yeah. Isaiah in here cussing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's my fault. Yeah, that's on me.
Fault. That's on me.
Pat your head on that one. That's on me.
Yeah.
What was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about this, about being on a team. Look, there is no team that does this like the Falcons. Like, literally, this never happened before for a team to blow leads like that back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
But when it starts and you're on a football team like that, do you have that, oh, God, here we go again?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, you do.
Because that's what we do as fans, obviously. But I was just wondering.
And that's the thing about it, because this is what they happen. You'd be on the sideline, I'm like, come on, man. Come on, man. Because this is always the thing that irritates the hell out of me. And I had one teammate, and he was on my team, always do it. Hey, it's 0-0. When we go into halftime, we're about to go back out at halftime. Hey, y'all, it's 0-0. No, the hell it ain't. We up, Sam team. I was like, oh, that is the irritant. Hey, man, it's 0-0. No, man, we winning. It ain't no damn zero. Oh, they just make me so mad.
We'll come back. We'll get to some damn good questions with Thirsty Brian. So don't go anywhere. What's trending coming up? Top of the 1 o'clock hour. Jason Longshore at 120. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ah. Yeah. 20 minutes away from what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Jason Longshore going to join us from the Atlanta United broadcast team coming up at 1:20 as well. AMA an hour from right now. Get your AMA questions in. Never too early. Any question, any topic, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. The phone lines will be open. Twitter. Speaking
Ooh,
of...
what?
What?
Them damn calls on Monday, man.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I bet.
Man. Yeah, bro. You missed out on a good one. Now, what you about to say on Twitter?
I was going to say, our guy Jay Mooney on Twitter with a pretty good idea. If things keep going the way they're going. He said, because, you know, we do the Lunchtime Falcons report at 12:20 every day. And I don't know, last year we made a joke about how we had to use the same highlight for the first 9 weeks because only one good thing happened. He said, why don't you guys just go back to opening football cards at 12:20? A lot more fun to talking about. Look, if the Falcons are like 0-6, I'm getting a 2008 Topps football set, and we're going right back to opening football cards.
Oh, hell yeah, dog. Yeah. Because you remember how hard it was for to find a highlight other than the Julio?
Yeah.
That Wes was calling that Julio thing. But, man, I told Andy, I said this. We're going to get to Brian in 1 second. I was thinking about this yesterday. Because a lot of times when I'm out there, I'll sit back and I'm like, okay, how do you want this season to go for you personally? And I don't want to give up on the damn season right now, Andy. I'm just not ready to. I'm not ready to. And that goes back to that athlete part in me, because it is it's a lot of ball left. And so until I'm proven otherwise, I'm going to have to just have that mentality. And this is just me. And y'all call me crazy, and I know most of y'all think I already am crazy as hell. But I just can't go through what we went through last year with this squad this early. Like, so I'm going to try and stay positive, Andy.
Well, look, me too. I don't want to give up on it. Because there's literally 14 weeks left, 13 games and a bye week. Like, we look forward to football season all year round.
Yeah.
And it's not even October yet. And we're talking about not giving up. Like, guys, come on.
You know, that's what I'm saying, man. Just like we're watching the Braves right now. And we're like, damn it, Max. Like, we're so afraid of anything going wrong right now.
We are. We got scars, man.
Yeah, man.
We got scars as sports fans. Especially in this town. All right.
Yeah.
We'll get to what's trending. Get you caught up on everything that's going on in about 15 minutes from right now. It is time now, though, for some damn good questions.
Ooh, look at the battery.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Oh, no. I didn't bring my guitar into the studio. Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678-ESOG now. Damn.
What up, B?
What's going on at the battery, man? I mean, that's my first question. Obviously,
I'm just looking at all the nice people out there sitting, enjoying the baseball game.
It's packed.
They got a big crowd out there.
It looks nice, man. It looks nice.
Sounds about right.
They might as well just open the damn stadium. There's thousands of people down there.
Yeah.
Hey, before Brian asks questions, can I ask one? Because
I mean, look at this. Yeah, they won't let them folks in, man.
I know. Let them in. Just let them in the stadium. Brian told me you guys started calling him Thirsty Brian, and that's my favorite thing in a while.
Yeah.
Why are you calling him that?
Okay, because you remember last week when we were talking about Tyler Hero and his old lady, right?
I don't think I was here that day. But
yes, you were when we were talking about Tyler Hero's girlfriend. No, Willie P was in.
Willie was in.
Willie P was in. And so, you know, she's an Instagram girl or whatever. And
okay.
Yeah, and so I was like, whose girlfriend was she before? And she was Kyle Kuzma's girl, right? And so but Brian said, told us to go look. So I looked her up, and it's, you know how it says who's following her? And there's Brian Gebhardt's name. So I'm like, so I called him Pervy Brian. And it was just more fun than anything. And so everybody's laughed. And so he came to me a couple days ago. It was like, I would really appreciate it if you would call me Pervy Brian. No problem. Nobody wants to be called Pervy Brian.
Nobody does.
So I said, so he said, could you change the Thirsty? Because Thirsty sounds a little bit better than Pervy Brian.
Yeah.
So his name is Thirsty Brian now.
There you go.
So that was it.
All right.
But it was funny because I clicked. I don't follow her. And so I type in her name, followed by Brian Gebhardt.
Hey. Well, because that's interesting. You saw that he was following her. And then, look, that's something that's a public information. You can see it. I had a weird thing yesterday, and I don't know if I was going to mention it or not, but whatever. I got a DM from a listener, just double barrel middle fingering me, calling me an SOB, told me to move back to Seattle.
Why?
Because I unfollowed him earlier in the day.
Are you serious?
This is a guy who sent me a nice DM maybe a month ago when Lily was born, said congrats, all that, and asked me to follow him. And I followed him, whatever. I clicked follow. And then he just tweeted too much. It was just like... This is like too much tweeting, and it's like, all right, I'm casual. I've never interacted with the same, you know, casual unfollow.
Yeah.
Double barrel birds SOB. Like, I couldn't believe it. How did he know that I unfollowed
him? That's why I always tell y'all, how the hell y'all be knowing if people unfollow you, and why do you care?
I don't know.
That's my biggest thing. Why do you care?
And maybe I did something else. Maybe I did something different, and maybe I cut him off on the highway, and I didn't know it was him.
Whatever, dude. Like I said, my only problem with following people, I got big thumbs, and sometimes I follow people that I'm like, who the hell is this person? I be seeing people with kids. I'm like, who the hell are you?
Wait, hold on. Is that the excuse that you tell Donnie you got big thumbs? Is that the go-to?
Good excuse, man.
Well, but the thing about it is, I don't follow Instagram models at all. I don't want that because she always sitting up on. We on the couch. We sit up on each other looking at our phones and stuff. And you scroll by, and it might be some cheeks pressed up against the screen. She'll be like, who is that? So I only put myself in that situation. Right?
It's smart. Some of the sports accounts I follow get me in trouble sometimes. There's that guy Bob Menery who does funny like fake play-by-play. He'll post a thirst trap every once in a while with a girl, and Ashley, same thing. We're sitting there on the couch. Who's that? I don't know. It's a sports guy. I promise. Look.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brad.
This kind of all leads into this question here. We had a very interesting debate last night. Not going to get into it either way on either side there. But what sports media personality do you think would do a good job of moderating a presidential debate?
Samuel L. Jackson. Hey, listen here. Shut the blank up. All right. All right, hey, you know what? Cut his mic off.
See, that's the thing. That's what they need. I think Samuel Jackson's a great answer. The dude who did it last night, I don't know who that is, but he was getting bullied on TV. It was sad. Let Tony Reale do it, but give him the mute buttons that they have from PTI and just do it PTI or that on Around the Horn. Let him do it Around the Horn style. Give him the mute button. And do it. That they've been doing that for 15 years.
That would be amazing.
All those guys do is try to yell over the top of each other, and then bang, you're muted for 10 seconds, and then the other guy gets to go. I am only half kidding when I say I think that they should do it Around the Horn style. Let Tony Reale moderate it and give him the mute button, because last night, not good.
SVP would be really great at it too, just because he's SVP and he's good at everything.
That's
so
true.
He'd probably figure out a way to make it fun and relatable for everybody.
Yeah.
You guys know there's a NBA Finals game going on tonight?
Yes, I do.
Kind of creeped up on us.
Yes, I do.
I want you to hear this cut from LeBron. He talked a lot yesterday about the Heat culture, playing for the Heat in the past, obviously, and playing for Eric Spoelstra. He talked about kind of the disrespect he gets among the other coaches in the league, and you let me know if you think he does get that disrespect or not.
It's unfortunate that he hasn't gotten his respect, and every time we talk about Spo when I was there and talk about how great he prepared us, and we all talked about his great plan for Spo and things of that nature, you guys always say, well, you know, you have LeBron, you have D-Wade, you have Bosh. Any coach can do it. No. Any coach can do it. If any coach could do it, then there would be a lot more champions in this league. There'd be a lot more successful coaches.
I love it because, you know, I'm a big Spo guy. I was there when they decided to give him the job. And I just remember Andy and Brian and Wendy, how the narrative was that he was just not a good coach. Mm-hmm. he had LeBron, he had D-Wade, which helps. Of course it does. But when I tell people that Heat culture, it's an actual thing. It is. Like, we don't fit our team to you. You fit into our team. You know, and that's the thing about it, man. And, you know, I love Spo, and I'm excited for the Heat. I think the Heat can beat the Lakers. But, you know, it's going to take a valiant effort, Andy Bunker. A valiant effort.
Well, Eric Spoelstra outcoached Brad Stevens.
He did.
In that series. And Brad Stevens gets talked about as if he's the biggest genius in the history of coaching. He's a good coach, too. Don't get me wrong. But Eric Spoelstra definitely deserves more credit. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the Lakers are going to win, but I'm hoping the Heat win. I love this Heat team.
Yeah.
They're super fun. I can't believe they're here. No one thought they were going to be here except for them. And you, maybe. Maybe.
I was just hoping they wouldn't get bounced out in the first round.
And they didn't. And that starts tonight. We'll come back. We'll get you caught up on everything that's going on today and what's trending. About an hour, 45 minutes away from the AMA. So get your AMA questions in early as well. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.